Hello and welcome to another episode of Movies That Make Us. I'm Jake.
I'm Tracy.
And I'm Val.
Together again. Muppet Mayhem. Together again.
Nice, Tracy. always coming in with a song and a dance.
You know, I should know more of those lyrics because I've seen that movie a bunch of times, but that's about as far as I get.
Yeah.
But
I feel bad now because people are going to hear that and think, oh, are they talking about Muppet Mayhem? And
No, we're not. Shoot. I set up
expectations. Way to get people excited.
Yeah. Well,
we're going to talk about Tom Cruise instead. I mean, who wants to do that? Blech.
I mean, Tom Cruise, Kermit, they're both heartthrobs, really, when you think about it.
Right. Both willing to do what it takes to get the job done.
I'm not going to comment on that. I don't think that could go anyway.
But
I both in love with blondes.
Yeah, that's true. Both in love with blondes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How are you guys doing? Whoa.
Good. I'm good. I'm downstairs in the basement doing the show because I almost can't open the door to my office because I have cleaned so many things out from the other rooms in my house that it's just a lot of it has just moved in. So now my office is that room
in the house.
You know, everybody's got that room. But my mother-in-law is coming to stay with us, and I had already gotten the guest bedroom ready for if anybody came, but it was my Disney room. And now that she's gonna come stay with us for a while, I was like, she doesn't want to live
there's in a difference between
Disney
a visit.
Room.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I moved all the Disney stuff. Well, not all, there's still a few things in there into my office. Plus, like I use it also as a crafting room. I'm not too crafty, but like all my painting stuff, and there was like a table in the closet that you can pull out and it comes up and you can do, you know, things on it. So I had to pull that out, shove that in my office so she could use the closet. Boxes of pictures because I was going through pictures to put in scrapbooks. I don't do the fancy scrapbooks, so don't get all excited, ladies. Like, I don't stamp, I don't cut things out. I take a scrapbook, I open the sticky part up, I stick the pictures down, I close that back over, done. So yeah, all that's now is in my office, and so I'm here on the couch.
The new digs. Well, I got to take part in a panel at the Zion Film Festival over last weekend. So thank you to Marshall and the team over there, and got to meet with Adam and Rebecca and Patrick, and we had a good conversation about what it's like being a film critic. Like, can you separate being a film critic from your own personal tastes? And it was a good conversation. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was sorry I missed it. Had some family things going on. Yep. Wasn't able to be there, but
yep, no worries.
But Tracy, you carried the Movies That Make Us banner into battle for us. Into battle.
And I feel like we talk about that a lot on the show, and I think that's going to come up on today's episode as well. But Jake, what's going on with you? What's new?
I mean, not much. We're just living the dream.
Any new Roosevelt shirts?
No, I haven't. I've had to decide what I'm spending my money on. My Roosevelt
shirt.
Gotcha.
Brandon Sanderson just did another crowdfunding campaign.
Heard about that one, yeah.
And so
that's going to take the priority.
Yeah, so that was a few Roosevelts worth of monies that I spent on that. So,
wow, you are all in on him.
I am, and this one in particular. So the series that it ties into is Stormlight Archive, which is my favorite of
his. You've talked about that before.
And it's a leather-bound book for the second book in the series. And I have the first leather-bound up here. And so the second book is actually my favorite in the series. And so I had to do it. But then he threw in like another book that was like one of his first novels that he wrote that you could only read it at the BYU library because it was like his final.
Oh, wow.
Or whatever. And so he's releasing that as a book. Plus, he did another secret novel that he just announced as well. So
he's just like, Jake, give me your money.
I don't know. I don't know.
And the thing is, it's not a ghostwriter. That's legit his writing.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell when you read it because it's his voice. It's his tone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either him or he's had the same ghostwriter for a really long time.
Or he's been using AI since before anybody
AI. There you go.
That could be, except the sentences are coherent and they make sense.
I don't use AI for anything, so I don't know.
It's getting better.
AI's getting better, but
I think it's the Will Smith of AI. Like, you know, in his movie, he's just like, I don't want my car to drive by itself. I'm going to buy my original sneakers. Like, I don't, until I absolutely have to use it. Mm-hmm.
I thought you meant you were just going to slap it in the face like Will Smith.
Probably. Keep my name out of your mouth.
No, I think AI has its place and it can be a great tool for like thinking through things or bouncing ideas off of somebody or, you know, there's not anybody available. But I do think that the danger is definitely there where it can be used for, you know, creating books, creating art, creating film clips. I mean, fakes and stuff like that. So there's definitely dangers there.
It's getting so good too. It's hard to discern whether or not it's real or not.
And this year being a presidential election year, I think we are going to see at least one or two deep fakes. And I don't know which side. I'm not trying to, this isn't me picking sides or playing favorites. I just think
to play chaos. No, this is a Dan Brown novel.
Yeah.
Dan
Brown. Yeah.
Like which candidate, you know what I mean? Like get in there and see which one go. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how AI gets brought out to the public because I believe that the world has been using AI for a long time. That's usually what happens is, you know, governments and high up people have been using things. And then all of a sudden it trickles down to us peasants. And we're like, oh, this is so cool and new. It's like when a band that has been like working on their music for 30 years is now gets an award for like best up and coming artists. And they're like, I'm not new.
Right.
But I feel like that's how technology is. And I know that AI has been being used for a long time.
Yeah.
And now we're getting our hands on it, which means we're ruining the crap out of it. Or, you know, finding, like you said, Jake, good ways to use it. I know people are using it to help their resumes, you know, to make sure that their emails are written correctly so that they can
diagnose.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's all bad. I just think some humans can be bad. Yes. And
well, and
we should do Minority Report.
Yeah, that would be it.
We could do a whole month of AI. There's enough movies out there. We could
do a whole month.
And you know what we do is we don't even have to be on the show. We could create AIs of all of us and just have them do it and we'll take a month off.
That's very meta. Ooh, that's meta. That's some deep right there.
We should have been doing that for the last 6 months.
That's a Christopher Nolan right there. That's a Christopher Nolan movie, or at least a Jonathan Nolan, one of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because we started out talking about AI, talking about ads and algorithms on Facebook and social media in general. I mean, I hate it. I'll scroll through TikTok and, you know, there's certain people that I follow and then the algorithm knows. And so it puts other videos that are similar to that.
Yeah.
It just takes you down these rabbit holes. And
I'm excited because all of the stories on my Instagram now are just stories about pugs and birds. It's just pugs and birds. Cause that's, nice. That's what I watch all the time now. Pugs and Birds.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. We should do a month of AI. There's a lot of it out there.
Cool. Let's do it.
Please. So.
Can you believe we're already in March?
Crazy. Almost halfway. Here. Well, yeah. First week of March is done.
Yeah. Crazy.
Man. This week.
Go ahead.
Starts this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Spring forward.
Half an hour. Although it affects me less than it used to because I don't physically move any clock in my house forward while I'm asleep. So I don't psychologically, I don't even really notice.
You're just,
I travel so much that my body never knows where it is.
Yeah.
I really don't ever know.
We're in Chicago. We're in Seattle. We're in New York. We're
going to Kansas,
Iowa. We're
tomorrow. My body's just like, I don't know what you're changing a clock back. Like, I don't.
Well, that'll be good. You'll be in Kansas City. And then when you come back, it'll just be like Central Time.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
I sleep the best in Central Time usually.
Interesting.
That'll be good to see. But I do want to give some shout outs really quick for some movies before we jump into ours, because we're getting into kind of a unique season of films and now streaming series. And Angel Studios, which is located in Provo,
right,
in Utah, they've been putting out movies for a long time. And I got to say, they're not all winners.
Yeah.
Because they have grown as a company. Mm-hmm. When they first started, they were just young kids, you know, making movies and a lot of faith-based movies, which is totally fine. But they have a movie coming out this Friday, which I think was premiered at the Zion Film Festival. And I don't know if any of you were able to see it while I was up there, but they did a premiere there. And it was so funny because Michelle Moore, who is one of the owners, she texted me last night and she says, "Val, are you going to be on Good Things Utah this Friday?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Are you covering Cabrini?" And I said, "Yes, but I haven't seen it yet. I was just going to mention it." I said, "Unless you have a little screener link you want to send to me." And she did. So last night, I watched it after I watched Kung Fu Panda. Not related. These movies are not related at all. But Cabrini is probably the best movie that Angel Studios, in my personal references, I've ever seen.
Great.
It's based on a true story. And it's beautifully shot. I think both of you would watch it and you would be like, this is so beautiful, kind of old Hollywood, a lot of play, or like foreign films. Mm-hmm. And it is an Italian director. But I would have to say B+. So if you're looking for something, if you're here in Utah and you want to support local made films, of course, this is going out all over the place. But yeah, it's called Cabrini. And I have to say it's good. Because it is good. I don't have to say it is
right.
Good.
Right.
Good because they told me to. No, we've never done that. Just in case anybody's wondering, we've never done that.
We don't get paid by anybody to do anything. We're not against it though. So if you want to get a hold of us,
I like how I put our integrity out there, and Val just says, "But we don't have any integrity at all."
No, I mean, we'd be happy to talk about your business for money. We don't have to endorse it, but the other cool thing I'm really excited about is that next weekend, so many things are coming out that are history based, and you know how much I love history and movies and series. And there is a new movie with Anthony Hopkins who totally love, and it's called One Life. And I watched it with my dad yesterday, and don't tell him that I told you, we both cried. So it is such a great movie, again, based on a true story. He is so good in it. Not that you would expect anything different, but it's a winner. And then I'm also watching a show called Franklin that's on Apple TV Plus, and it's about Benjamin Franklin. It has Michael Douglas as Benjamin Franklin, and it's fun. It's not funny. Cool. it's just fun to watch him be in this world. And, you know, if you don't know much about the time of Benjamin Franklin, but you've seen the movie Hamilton, so many of those characters or actual people of history are in the show because it was during that time. So see, a lot of fun things coming up.
That's like 250 years ago.
Yeah.
So I feel like if that's a spoiler for you, man.
But a lot of people are like,
Hamilton's not 250 years old. That came out like 10 years ago.
Okay.
But well, a lot of people, like a lot of young people, if you like bring up the time of Benjamin Franklin, they're like, I mean, I don't know. And then you're like, have you seen Hamilton? Yeah. They talk about Lafayette in this movie. They talk Lafayette. Yeah. So yeah, there's things and stuff that you'll know. And it's fun. It's fun for me just because I love history, but yeah, it's nice.
Cool.
So those are my plugs. Kung Fu Panda did not suck. It was really fun.
That one looked fun. Jack Black's always great.
It has a great cast. Like the cast is crazy.
He and Kyle from Tenacious D did Hit Me Baby One More Time.
It's in the movie. It's in the movie. That's why they did it. They recorded it for the movie.
It's great.
Yeah, it is great.
So when you said Franklin, first I pictured the turtle. whenever somebody says, have you seen Franklin, I think of the turtle. Mm-hmm. And then as you were describing it, I kept picturing Franklin Delano Roosevelt instead of Benjamin Franklin. That
would be interesting. There's so many Franklins out there.
Benjamin
Franklin. Yeah.
Then I caught up. It's a struggle sometimes in my head. I'll be honest. So, yeah, thank you.
But I love seeing, Michael Douglas is doing Franklin, and then we have Anthony Hopkins doing this other movie. These are, stars that were all very, very big and popular in the 1990s, which is crazy because Days of Thunder was made in 1990. Ooh.
If they remade Back to the Future, Marty McFly would be going back to 1993.
First of all, they should never remake Back to the Future.
I'm just saying.
Why'd you even put it out there?
Who's going to play Marty McFly better than
Michael recasting? I'm just saying that's how old we are, friends.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Okay. And Val brought up the 90s, and that made me think of that.
I was trying to segue it, and then you just...
I know. I just veered this off again.
Gracie, we all know how old we are, and that's younger than you. So that's how old we are.
Touché. Well done. Yes.
Days of Thunder, directed by Tony Scott.
Yes, brother of Ridley Scott, famous
of the Scotts. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows him way more than Ridley. Nobody's ever heard of anyway.
He's a little independent filmmaker, I heard.
Ridley Scott, yeah. He's a couple things.
Yeah.
A couple things. He did this space horror.
And then there was like some sword and sandal thing. It was like on HBO or something.
Yeah. Critics like that one. I don't know if it did any business in the box.
I've never heard of it.
It's awful. We've taken this way too far all of a sudden.
So Days of Thunder is my pick for this month because in the 1990s, I really got into this movie as a kid. I was in junior high. For some reason, it started my love of race car movies. If you've listened to the show before, I love race car movies. I do not watch any sort of live race car shows or TV or sport, but I love race car movies. And this movie has such a great cast, and it's actually where Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise met each other before they got married. So you have Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, John C. Reilly, who I love, Michael Rooker, Randy Quaid, Cary Elwes, and I'm looking at the cast over here on Google. Well, this is the thing. So you've got that whole line of cast at the top. I have to scroll down before I get to Robert Duvall, and he's like the main character other than Tom Cruise in this movie. I am a huge Robert Duvall fan.
Yes.
Some people don't love him so much because of off-screen things. I don't care. Send me your hate mail. I love Robert Duvall. He is a great actor. Mm-hmm. He's one of those actors that when you see him in a movie, for me at least, I feel like I know him. I feel comfortable. I feel like, there's just, especially watching him in Days of Thunder, I want him to mentor me, right? I don't know in what, but just help me out with some things.
Yeah, it is a stellar cast. I don't think everybody was as big a name then as they are now. I mean, Robert Duvall, yes. Tom Cruise, yes.
Michael Nicole Rooker, Kidman no. wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Randy Quaid was trying to be a serious actor.
Yeah.
Which was weird.
I tried to say it without laughing.
I think of Randy Quaid in one of two characters, either Eddie from Christmas Vacation or the crazy dad in Independence Day.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's it. And
I don't think that he was bad at this part. I actually think he played it very well. It was just so great to see Cary Elwes as just this little.
Oh, he looks so young.
He was so cocky and so, you know, because we usually see him as, well, we think of him as this romantic cocky guy, but in this movie he is like don't even talk to me good looking cocky guy.
I think my favorite part with Cary Elwes is as they're interviewing all of the race car drivers because Cole's coming back to race. We're getting to the end, sorry, but and so they're interviewing all the race car drivers and then they cut to him and like they had real live, these were actual NASCAR drivers that they were interviewing that they gave to and they said whatever and then they cut to him. I'm like, yeah, I just don't believe that he's a NASCAR driver after seeing those guys because he's way too good looking. It's too perfect looking. Him and Tom Cruise both.
Yeah.
All right. So
I'm with you, Belle. Like I'm not a race car fan, but I'll typically watch a race car movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like shark movies for me. It's like, I don't know. There's just something about it.
That you like shark movies, but you're not going to go swim with sharks.
Yeah.
Tracy probably would. He's been doing a lot of crazy stuff.
I don't know. That one,
let's go together, Tracy.
Do it maybe in a cage, but that would be still, that would be terrifying.
You could do a polar plunge and swim with sharks at the same time.
Plus I get seasick, so I don't know. That one's not high on my list, but.
So Top Gun came out in 1986.
Right.
Yes.
Movie came out in 1990. Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise is starting to, you know, kind of move right up into where he needs to be. And this is the second movie in his
Tony Scott
movies at this time that he rides a motorcycle onto a place he's not supposed to ride one. And it sets the precedent in his contract from there on out. He must forever ride a motorcycle onto an area where a motorcycle isn't supposed to be driven. And I think that's why we love him. So I love the scene where he comes onto the racetrack. He has no business being there. They have all of these people that have been in the racing business forever. And he's just this bright-eyed young guy. And he's like, I can do it. He's this green guy. And you know, at the whole movie, he's just kind of telling everyone, like, don't worry about it. Like, I can do this. Like, we're here. We can do it. And like, he does not question himself until later on in the movie. And I kind of love that about his character, because I think we all kind of grow up and we forget about when we were younger and we were like, I don't care about what you think. I know I can do this, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I think that's just Tom Cruise, though.
Well, like, but
they came up with the idea of the movie because he and Paul Newman decided that they wanted to drive a race car. And so they got a hold of some race car, and Tom Cruise's first lap, he took it 180 miles around the track.
He's a crazy guy.
Like, then he was like, that was fun. We should do a movie about that. I'm like,
what did Paul Newman have to do with this movie? I don't know.
He and Paul Newman decided that they wanted to drive some race cars. So they got a hold of some race car and took it around the track and decided to make a movie.
I mean, for me, it's one of those movies. Everybody has a movie that isn't necessarily like, this isn't going to be nominated for anything, but it's just fun. It's like Armageddon. Like, I will watch Armageddon anytime it's on. Sometimes I will go search for it because I just need something fun to watch that I don't have to think a ton about, right? Sure. And this is one of those. And I love, not only do I love him and Robert Duvall as characters and how they play so well off of each other, but then when you get Rooker in there, and they are these two guys who both want the same thing, who are pitted against each other just because that's the way it goes. That, and then they become, no, I wouldn't say friends, but they build this respect for each other around the sport that I really like, but I believe them so much. And I think Rooker, Michael Rooker in this character, it just, he melts right into it.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize that was him.
Yeah. Well, it's because he wasn't painted blue. So I will say too, with their relationship, this is the only movie I've seen that has a high speed wheelchair race,
which is my favorite scene in the movie.
Yeah. Like that was intense through the hospital.
I love the whole sequence because they go. So, okay. If you're new and you don't know what this movie is about, because we just kind of jumped into it. Tom Cruise is a race car driver, but it's like the dirt
one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not Daytona. Right. And he loses his ride, which means that his dad did some unethical things and he gets kicked off the team. And so he just thought, I'm going to go up and race, you know, these big race. I want to go win Daytona because everybody thinks they can do that. Right. And so somebody believes in him. They go get Robert Duvall, who has not been in the racing world for a while because of an incident that happened with one of his racers who died while racing. He gets pulled back in by Randy Quaid, who is kind of the top exec for this race team. And things just go from there. Basically, Robert Duvall's character is a mentor for Tom Cruise's character, and he becomes a really good race car driver. I love when he says, "What's happening out there?" And he's like, "Well, he's bumping my car. He's hitting me." And he's like, "He's rubbing you. Rubbing is racing." Like, I love that line so much. The way
he delivers that line, yeah.
It's so good. This is such a quotable movie if you've seen it. And then it goes through a situation where Michael Rooker's character and Tom Cruise, they're both on the same team. But one has to be better than the other. And then they both get in a horrible crash. And they both have bad outcomes from it, but Tom's character is it's really like a PTSD situation where if you've ever been hurt in a sport, it's hard for you to get back out there. And I've seen this in a couple of sports movies before where you see an athlete get hurt and the athletes will not go to the hospital to visit that athlete because they're superstitious.
Yeah. When that happened to Ricky Bobby, it was awful. The flames.
Wow. I don't like that movie.
Of course, you love. That movie should not work. And that just, yeah. Anyway, sorry.
But so they're both
with PTSD.
They're both in the hospital. They're recovering from the crash. And they're basically the hoodlums of the car racing community right now. So in order for them to both be able to race again, they have to go have lunch with all of these top execs. And they have to get there in the same car. So they race in their wheelchairs out of the hospital, just clanking each other around.
It just starts off where Rooker just barely pushes himself ahead and looks over like, yeah, I'm the man.
Well, they're being pushed by nurses at first, or orderlies, and they're pushing, and they keep spinning their wheels a little bit faster to try to get ahead. And then all of a sudden, they can't hold on anymore. So it's just them racing through the hospital.
And then they get on the road in their rental cars.
Well, because they can't ride in the same car together. There's only one solution. They're going to have to rent a couple of cars.
So they show up and they're late and their rental cars are demolished and they like fix themselves up and they sit down. And it's kind of like when two bullies are getting brought to the principal's office and neither we're fine. There's nothing wrong here.
Nothing to see here.
And that's kind of where it kind of clicked for them. It was that little moment that you could see of where the respect was starting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that plays out through the rest of the movie as Rowdy isn't able, he's not cleared to race again. Yeah. Rooker's character. And
Rowdy is Michael Rooker's character.
And
which is tough because Rowdy has been doing that for that's his life career.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Duvall's character at one point says, you know, race car drivers, they don't go to funerals. They don't do anything that would remind them of what could happen on the track, that they could lose their life. And you see that play out with Tom Cruise as he's having to deal with Rowdy's medical issues that were caused by the same accident that he was in with him. And now, and that kind of creates this lack of confidence, very similar to Maverick's lack of confidence.
Yes.
A lot of this is very similar to Top Gun. Very.
Yeah. I mean, same director.
And when the movie came out, there was a lot of criticism that this was Top Gun, but in a race car.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of similarities, but you know,
I do love all the names that they gave the drivers, because you have Tom Cruise's character. His name's Cole Trickle.
Yeah.
Like, whose name is Cole Trickle? And then you've got Rowdy. And then what's Carrie Elwes's character's?
Russ Wheeler.
Yeah.
You know, well,
with a name like Wheeler, you know, he's got to be a car racer.
Yeah. But I just, you know, I love it. I think that it's cheesy in some parts, but then it's just like a sports movie where it comes full circle and you just kind of feel good watching it. And Nicole Kidman's character is the doctor that has to kind of look at both of them. And one of my favorite scenes in the movie, and I don't know why, I think it's just the way she says it. And I cannot say it like Nicole Kidman because I am not from Australia, but he's racing through. She's in the car with him. Somebody, like, I don't remember, gets in front of him or something. And he like loses it and he starts racing it. And she's in the car and she goes, "Let me out of the car, Cole. Let me out of the car." I just love how she says car. And I love it. I don't know why. I just love it.
And I think it's because the script is not the best script ever in this movie. And she was really, really new. But I think it's really interesting to see how far she's come. Because when this movie came out, she got hammered pretty good for it. Like, she did, the reviews were not real kind to her. And to see where her career has taken her, and some of the, and we've talked about her in several pieces that we've done, Australia and a few others.
Yeah.
Like, she's dramatically better than she was, which is cool to see.
Yeah.
I like this movie way better than the other one they were in together, where they were both immigrants.
The potato one. The Tom Cruise doing the Irish accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that movie was poop. But this movie, this is a thing about film critics, and I'm saying this from, I mean, all three of us are basically film critics. And like we mentioned at the beginning, being able to stop being a critic for a minute and just enjoy something that's fun and being able to do that. Right. I don't think she was bad in this movie. Was the script not amazing? It wasn't amazing, but that's not what this movie was about. I don't think that the writers of this movie were like, I want to get,
this,
you know,
is going to get me
best screenwriter. It was, you know what? Like you said, like, let's make a race car movie that's fun let's follow a formula that works. Every single sports movie follows the same formula. And I have no problem with that whatsoever, because I know what I'm getting into, because that's what makes me like it. It's like why people watch Hallmark movies, right? They know the beginning, they know the middle, they know the end, but they still keep watching them. And that's why I like sports movies, because I know sometime during the movie, I'm going to cry because I'm sad and cry because I'm happy.
Well, and we've been to fancy dinners before. I don't think I've done a fancy dinner with Jake yet, but we need to fix that. But like, we all enjoy, you can sit down. We all enjoy going to like a nice fancy dinner, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. It tastes amazing. There are times where you just want a McDonald's hamburger. I mean, or a Taco Bell, or, you know, a chocolate donuts. There you go. You know, but that's the thing, is it's like, not everything has to be fine dining. Like, you can still enjoy junk food, and that's totally okay. And some movies are junk food, and that's all right. Well, and
most America would rather have, I don't want to call it junk food movies, but a movie like this over what gets nominated
at the Oscars every year. A lot of times, well, and we talked about this in the panel too, is, you know, movies are so expensive now that people have to be kind of choosy as to what they go see, because if you've got a family of four, you're spending upwards of $100 a pop to get tickets and a drink and a popcorn. So they're seeing a handful of movies in the theater a year versus we're seeing a lot more because we talk on the show and we do critics and, you know, and stuff like that. So I think that when people are going to spend their money, they want to be entertained and not necessarily go out for a fine dining movie, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's why, you know, a site like Rotten Tomatoes should work on a certain level. It doesn't because it's broken, and I understand that. But the concept where you're going to have a critic score, and it may be much lower than the audience score, because a movie can be a bad or middle of the road movie, but still be super, super enjoyable.
Absolutely.
It can be a really, really good movie and well done movie and be not enjoyable at all.
Zone of Interest is not a particularly entertaining movie.
Yeah,
but it's one that's really good.
Yeah.
And Val, you'll be happy to know in the panel, Rebecca Frost brought up that she will live or die for all of the Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah.
She was like, doesn't matter. She's like, I know going into it, it may not be a great movie, but it's going to be a great movie.
Yeah, I knew I liked her. I knew it.
Well, and Christopher Nolan is a big
The Furious. Nolan, absolutely.
And Stephen Colbert was interviewing him about it recently.
And
he said, this is a guilty pleasure for you. And Christopher Nolan said, I'm not guilty. I don't feel guilty about it. I enjoy the movies.
Yeah. And recently, Quentin Tarantino was talking about Days of Thunder and said how much he enjoys it. He's like, you just can't take it seriously. If you take it seriously, it doesn't work. But so
he me and Tarantino agree on something. That's
So there you go.
Yeah.
But I do think it's funny, though, because this movie, they started without a finished script. And I was doing a little reading about it beforehand. And they were like rewriting day of, which is not that rare. It's like, we all think about how, like, you know, you've got the finished script and it's completely done and locked down. There's a lot of times they're rewriting the day of. And but at one point, somebody came up with a great idea to try and tape script pages to Tom Cruise's windshield while he was out driving, and it caused an accident on set. And so then they had to develop an earpiece so they could feed him his lines. but somebody came up with the idea, we'll just tape the script pages to a car that's racing around a track over 100 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh. That person's fired. Yeah, they probably are ahead of a studio right now. I don't
know. It's probably David Zaslav from
Lord I mean, Brothers. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes.
But Tom Cruise was still the guy that got in the car and said, no, this is fine.
I can do this. Well, you know, he sees it as a challenge.
Yeah.
I can see through paper.
He can do anything in a race car. Anything is possible for him in a race car. Isn't that what Cole Trickle says?
Yeah.
This is definitely a fun movie. Like, it's enjoyable. It goes by quick. It's less than 2 hours long, and it doesn't feel overly long because the story just kind of progresses and they go from one race to another, and it's easy to sit through, in my opinion.
Well, and there's a lot of kind of deep moments that if you pay attention, like John C. Reilly's character, Buck Brotherton, which is also a really great movie. Just the fact that he is still working with the man that a lot of people think killed his father, right?
Yeah.
That's his family. And his that little bits and pieces of story that we get from him are so great. And they add something to the movie where sometimes, you know, we've talked about movies in the past where they keep throwing in these side characters. We don't understand where they fit. We don't care about them enough because we don't know about them enough, but they give us enough of him. And I think John C. Reilly is so great at just giving us, he emotes feeling so well. Please do not bring up that movie again.
Which one? Step Brothers?
We're not going to shake and bake. We're not going to step brother it. He's so good at comedy, but we don't see him very much in these serious roles. And he has played some very good dramatic roles. And I wouldn't say this is a dramatic movie by any means.
Skull Island.
But he does well, even though we get sprinkles of him throughout the movie, and I love it.
No, he's an underrated dramatic actor for sure. Yeah.
The other character I think that we do get just enough of is Randy Quaid's character, who ends up being kind of the villain in the story. You know, he's the small time Chevy dealer owner and comes in and wants to start this race team. And at one point, if they don't get a sponsor, the team's going to, they're going to have to shut down. They don't have money for it. And then at the end, because he's been successful and he's got two drivers, or he's got another driver now, and he's just,
I love it, and you just want to
him in the face.
I mean, until he helps him out with the engine.
And he gives him an engine at the end. Like, I guess that just shows we're all complex. None of us are one-dimensional.
That's a good point.
Even Randy Quaid.
Well, I think what really saves this movie is the fact that you have really good cast. And so they're interesting people, and they're just fun to watch. I mean, like you said, the get out of the car, you know, the delivery of that. Robert Duvall delivers great. And he has some really fun moments bouncing off with Tom Cruise. Like in the scene in the bar where he's like, okay, if it's drifting, and he's going into all this technical car stuff. And Tom Cruise has to admit that no idea what he's talking about. Like,
yeah.
And so there's some good scenes in that one, but I think that the cinematography of Tony Scott on this, like that dude knew how to film action.
Yeah. It's really hard. We've seen other people try and make movies like this and getting these action race car or action, any sports,
especially
you've got to really know. Yeah. You've got to really know.
The cameras were so much bigger. You had to have cables attached to everything. I mean, you had so much more complex. Now you can put a little GoPro that's shooting 4K on the bottom of a car and it'll be fine. But at the time, now you couldn't do that. You know, yeah.
So this wasn't shot entirely on an iPhone?
No. Shocking.
One of my favorite scenes with Robert Duvall in it is when he's sitting in his chair on the sidelines. I don't know what you would call it. And Cole is going around and he's like, well, what are you guys doing? He's like, we're eating ice cream. Like, you're just out there.
We're eating ice cream. You can't come in. Sorry.
And I've heard that actually happened at some race at some point, and they thought it was funny, so they put it in there. But I like that scene quite a bit too. Yeah.
Yeah. There are some good moments. I think Robert Duvall and Tom Cruise together, and just the fun that they had as a team, as a racing group, when they get pulled over by the cops. And then later he thinks that it's the same thing, but with the doctor.
That scene doesn't play the same now as it did back
then. No.
But it's still I always get so then, embarrassed for him.
I was like, it wasn't appropriate back then, but it really hits different now in 2024. Like, oh, Nicole, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they got married, so she obviously didn't care.
They did Eyes Wide Shut together, so.
I sat front row in that movie in the theater. That was a mistake.
I'm sorry. Wow.
Not by choice, but yeah.
I haven't seen that movie, believe it or not.
Don't.
That's not on your top 10 list of all time?
If I was ever going to tell you to watch a rated R movie, that wouldn't even be on the list.
No.
If you're like, okay, I'm gonna give in and I'm going to watch one rated R movie that you tell me, Val, that you would know, not be on the list.
He's supposed to be a good filmmaker. And this has got Tom Cruise. I'll check this one out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they don't always win in every movie that they're in together, but this one is a win for me.
Yeah.
Do you want me to throw out my grade, or do you want me to be last on the grade?
Go for it.
I think it's important that not every good movie that you love needs to be an A. This movie is a solid B for me. It's not an A because it's not really an A movie, but I love B movies, not B movies, but movies that are in the Bs. Maybe even a C+ movie every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And so this for me is a solid B. I think it's so fun. Plus, it just makes me feel like when I was a kid, and I watched it all the time, and it kicked off my love for race car movies. So it's always going to have like a little special place with me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'll go. I don't like it quite as much as Val does. I'll go B minus on this one. I had not seen it since I first saw it when it first came out. And so that was a long time ago, but overall I held up really pretty well. And like I said, the thing that I think really holds it together is Tony Scott and the way he shoots it. But there is a lot of fun pieces for it, but overall it's not the best sports movie, but it's enjoyable.
B minus is still good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with what both of you have said. It is a fun movie. It is an enjoyable movie. I think the script has a lot of problems. The story has a lot of problems, but the action on the racetrack and the chemistry between the actors mm-hmm. distract you enough from the problems that are in the script and in the story that it's still an enjoyable movie to sit through and to watch. I'm going to give it a B is where I feel like it belongs. B minus. I get that grade, Tracy. I really do. I enjoyed it enough that I'm going to give it a B.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
There you go. Days of Thunder. If you haven't checked this out for a while, you should definitely check it out. It's on Paramount Plus right now streaming. Mm-hmm. So if you subscribe to that, you can pick it up there. You can watch it on Apple or
there's Amazon. Plenty of
free
months. Paramount's always giving out free month codes. So
yeah. Check it out that way too. There's a lot of good series on Paramount Plus. So in the 7 days of that free trial,
It's a 30-day trial now.
You have plenty of time to watch. It was a
30-day free trial. Yeah.
You sign up for Walmart Plus, you get it for free for a year.
Oh, that's right.
There's a Walmart Plus?
And Target Plus too. Everything's Plus now.
Can I get a Val Plus?
Ooh.
Yeah.
If you want to message me, if you're going to get Paramount Plus, message me and I will give you a list of things that you should check out in the 30 days that you have it.
There you go. Personalized.
My winner list of Paramount Plus.
There you go.
And you can read through Val's list. And then if you want a list of the Star Trek content, you should check out.
I like Star Trek content.
Did you get through all the Paramount Star Trek stuff in 30 days, though?
Well,
you really had the time to binge.
I would go to the stuff that's like only on Paramount Plus. So New Worlds, Picard, Discovery,
Below Deck.
Yeah, Lower Decks.
Or Lower Deck. Below Deck.
I was going to say, Below Deck is not the same thing. Yeah. That's the trash that I watch.
Yeah. If yourself watching Below Deck and you think it's Star Trek, you are going to be disappointed. And likewise, if you go to Lower Decks thinking it's Below Deck, you're also going to be very disappointed. So,
yeah.
You might like both, but they're not the same thing.
No, Paramount Plus is a good service. It's so hard. I saw somebody mention this somewhere on Facebook or something where they said, I didn't cut, cable thinking that I would have 15 streaming services that I have to pay for separately to get the content that I want. But that's the age that we live in for entertainment. And you don't have.
That's the thing is I added up all the subscriptions that I have and what I used to pay for my cable subscription, not even close to cable. Still so much lower, and I get to choose because I remember when I had cable, and I won't say what it is, but a lot of people have it, and I'm paying for like sports things that I don't watch, and it's and you have to.
You get
they're
all
like
the...
this is connected, so you have to pay for it. Right. I'm like, but I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch this or this or this or this. So I only pay for the things that I want to watch. So
there you go.
I feel good about it.
Yeah, and that's. I look at it this way. I pay for Peacock. And the main reason why I do is for the wrestling pay-per-views, the WWE pay-per-views, that when I was a kid, you paid $50.
Yeah. I remember those days. Yeah.
And now I pay less than 10 bucks a month for my subscription to Peacock. Yeah. That's a deal. Even if that's all I watch on the streaming service, it's a deal in my mind. So,
and again, none of us are getting paid to talk about this. I do get... Most of these channels, I pay for them, but then I also get the free screening sections.
Right,
but I still pay for them because to me, it's worth it.
It's supporting.
So, yeah.
Speaking of paying for good movies, go see Dune on the biggest screen you can.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to try and see that this weekend. So I still haven't seen it. So nobody, I haven't read any reviews. I haven't even listened to Tracy. I told him not to tell me anything. Yep.
Val said, don't send me a thing. So I haven't tagged you or added you or anything. So
yeah,
I watched your review on TikTok, Tracy.
Thank you, Seth.
I've seen it go by and I hurry and I slide past it.
It's crazy because I just barely started putting TikToks up there and that got like 300.
Yeah, like, that's my little 3-minute TikTok reviews. Jake, you better get on that.
Yeah,
you do. Jake, you put a lot of content on your TikTok. I love
I have to like.
I haven't done it for a long time.
Yeah, I got to get better at it. My production quality is not there, but the content's good.
I don't think it matters.
it really doesn't. And it's hard. TikTok's an interesting thing because it's hard to pinpoint what actually works on TikTok and what actually will blow up because.
Yeah. I don't focus on that. I just get on and I talk about things and I share some of my travels. And if people want to look at it, great.
Yeah. Yeah. My Drive Away Dolls review got like 900 something. Dune's at 300. So I'm like,
Do you want my Drive Away Dolls gift pack that I got the other day?
No, I really don't because I know what
you're the only one that got it.
Patrick got it too.
Oh, okay.
Patrick Beatty got it. But I'm like, That case, that swag, I do not want.
I'm going to eat the puppy cookie. There's a puppy cookie in there.
That is fine. Yeah. The other, Jake, you don't want to know what's in the case.
I don't want to know.
I should have been warned because I haven't seen the movie yet.
Sorry.
Anywho.
On production quality, Tracy.
You get a much better knowledge of Matt Damon than you ever wanted to. So there you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, now
I'll go see it tomorrow.
No, you really
don't.
I've heard it's good from a lot of people, but Tracy's the only one that told me not to see it. So
I really did not enjoy that movie at all. And I thought I would. I thought that was one that I thought, okay, this looks great. I'm a Coen Brothers fan. Let's go. And then I saw it and I was like, this is hot steaming garbage. So
I will say, speaking of production quality for TikTok, when I see something that's overly produced on TikTok, I usually don't stop and watch it.
Mm.
So I like the rougher stuff.
So do that, I.
Like the stuff that's just more amateur and whatever. But there's
like
one guy.
Like our show.
Like our show. There's one guy I was talking to my wife about today. Dad chats on TikTok. Dude, put a lid on your coffee cup because I cannot focus on what he's saying because he's swinging his coffee cup around and I'm nervous and it's just going to spill everywhere. I just can't take it. The
anxiety, I can't take it anymore.
It's just chill.
That
coffee cup. He's talking and telling a humorous story and I'm just focused on that cup. I'm like, he's going to spill it all over himself.
So he got you. His little trick
sucks
you in.
It works, but anyway, I've got to be able to see the liquid, and that's what he does. He's got it full up enough that you can see it anyway.
I love this.
So check us out on TikTok. We don't do a lot on the Movies That Make Us TikTok channel, but we each have our own.
And
follow us there for some other reviews and shenanigans and whatnot. Yeah. So, but also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, all the places. X, formerly known as Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Subscribe, like, and share this video.
Smash that like button.
Yeah, send it to someone who doesn't like car racing, but they'll love this movie. Just trust us. They will. They will. Or send it to the NASCAR fan in your life.
Also good. Or
Or just anyone. Anyone you want to brighten their day. Send this episode
from us to you.
Yeah. They'll love you for it. If they don't, we'll give you your money back. There you go.
That is a deal. And we did not talk about this deal beforehand, but I approve.
Thanks, Tracy. Thank you everyone for watching, listening. We appreciate your support. Have a wonderful day.
And we'll bye.
We won't see the movies. Till next time.
This has been an Age of Geek Media production.